Praise God for that salvation we heard of this morning. I just want to bring greetings again in the name of Jesus. Welcome, everyone. It's a privilege to be here, isn't it? It's a privilege to hear about God's working in our hearts, Brother Paul and Larry, as they shared. And thank God that we can confess our sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Isn't that wonderful? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why don't we, those of you who are able, let's kneel for prayer. Yes, Lord, we thank You for Your marvelous works to the children of men. Thank You for the church that You have ordained, the brothers and sisters that we can have in the body to encourage one another. We pray that we could be an encouragement to each other, that we would not be afraid to exhort one another daily, as is called today, lest any of us be trapped by sin, Lord. I pray You'd help us to be on guard and aware these last and evil days we live in, that we could think about the price You paid for our soul. Help us, Lord, that we could keep this strong in our minds as we go about our day and face real life. Help us that we could think about the pain You suffered for us. Help us to think about the great cloud of witnesses that is watching and waiting, that has gone on before, that has overcome. Lord, help us to be overcomers. Oh God, help us to care for one another. Help us to lift up the hands of our elders. Oh God, please help us to be real brothers. Just pray for each one that is not here today. We lift especially up Brother Willis and Dora in the hospital. We pray that You would have Your hand on them. Bring healing. Lord, strengthen their hearts, we pray. Pray for the others that have gone out from us to minister elsewhere. We think of Bethlehem Fellowship and Shining Light as well. We pray that You would strengthen the brothers there and help us all that we could make it to heaven. Help us, Lord. Commit these all things to You in Jesus' name. Amen. You can open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. This morning, this was a message that was on my heart to preach 2 weeks ago, and ended up running out of time, so we have the opportunity today. Let's read here. Luke 17, verse 26, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." So I want to talk about signs of the last days. And at the end, I want to end on an encouraging note. How Jesus is going to rule and reign forever. But somehow we have to make it between here and there. So my desire this morning is that we can be encouraged, that we have a hope that's beyond this life, praise God, and we have something to look forward to. We have a rock to put our faith on, that when we go through troubled times and troubled waters, we can be full of joy in the Lord, to know that Jesus is our anchor. So, I want to begin with reading some verses that the Bible talks about. It speaks about the last days. Then we're going to go and look at different points. First, I want to look at what people will be doing in the last days. Then I want to look at how people will be like in the last days. And then we're going to look at 14 different points, which include, which are the signs that the Bible gives us. Point number one is deception. Number two is wars and rumors of wars. Number three is nation rising against nation. Number four is famines. Five is pestilences. Six is earthquakes in diverse places. Number seven is men's hearts failing for fear. Number eight is hated of all nations. Number nine is false prophets and false Christ. Number 10 is love of many waxing cold. Number 11 is Sodom and Gomorrah. Number 12 is many shall run to and fro. Number 13 is knowledge shall be increased. Number 14 is the Antichrist. So it sounds like a heavy-duty message here, but we're going to keep our focus on the Lord. Okay, for a few verses talking about the last days, Daniel 2:28 says, "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days." The Bible refers to what we're talking about as, it refers to it as the last days, the latter days, the latter time, the latter times. So this is what we're talking about this morning, is that space of time just before the end of the world. And we'll get into that a little more. Hebrews 1:2 says that he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. 1 Peter 1:5 says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." 2 Peter 3:3 says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts." 1 John 2:18, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." Jude 17:18, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time." So I think all of us would agree. You could raise your hand. We believe we are in the last time. Let's look at the thing of what the Bible refers to as the last day. There's scriptures that refer to the last day, or the day of God, or the notable day of the Lord. The day the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The day that Christ will judge the world. The day that time will be no longer. The day that the dead will be raised up. The day that God will make all things new. The Bible talks about that great day. And then the Bible refers to the last days, which would be the time right before that. And what I found it interesting is how that space of time, how many of you know how long the last days have been so far? How long have we been in the last days? You think it's been in the 20th century or since the Reformation? How long have we been in the last days? Since Christ. You're right. And there's about four different scriptures, including 1 John, where we read that you know it's the last time, and Hebrews, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. 1 Peter 1:20, he's manifest in these last times for you. So We have been in the last days for 2,000 years, believe it or not. And so as we talk about the last days, a lot of these signs have actually been happening for 2,000 years. There have been wars for 2,000 years. There have been earthquakes for 2,000 years. There have been false prophets for 2,000 years. There has been the love of many waxing cold for 2,000 years. But there are a few of these signs that seem to really be pointing that we're toward the end of that, of the last days. We'll be getting into that more. Okay, let's turn your Bible over to, actually just stay there in Luke. Let's look at what the people will be doing in the last days. Okay, very common things. They're going to be eating and drinking. They'll be marrying and giving in marriage. Now, is it wrong to eat or drink? We have to eat to live and drink. And the Bible very clearly instructs us that it's God's plan to get married. So that's nothing wrong with that. They planted, they builded. So it seems like life is continuing sort of like it always has. And I think that is what's going to catch people unawares, because they are used to life the way it's always been. Let's turn our Bibles over to 1 Timothy 4. We're going to talk about how some people are going to be acting in the last days. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So in the last days, there's going to be people saying it's not good to get married for whatever reason. There's going to be people that are going to say you can't eat certain foods. Maybe you got to be a vegetarian. Now, there's nothing wrong with eating vegetables, but when you make a religion out of it, that is something that he said is going to be happening in the last days. They're going to speak lies. There's people out there that will try to seduce you, and we'll talk more about that in our first point. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy, look at one last scripture before we get into our signs. 2 Timothy 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So in the last days, there's going to be people that are going to love themselves. Do we see that around us? Let's check our own hearts. There's people that are going to be unthankful, unholy. There's people that are going to not have natural affection. And we see that very clearly. People that love their pets more than their children. You know, I mean, people that are attracted to a man and a man instead of a man and a woman. We see people that are trying to be a different gender than what God created them. We see people that are high-minded. We see people that love pleasure more than God. We see all these things. We see people that try to seduce ladies into captivity. creep into houses. We see people that are ever learning. They go to college. They get all this learning, and yet they never come to the knowledge of the truth. Now let's look at our first point. We heard what people are doing in the last days. We heard how they're going to be like. Now let's talk about deception. Jesus said in there in Matthew, take heed that you be not deceived. So in the last days, there's going to be a great wave of deception that is going to be upon the earth. Take heed that you be not deceived. What does the word deception mean? The word deception means the state of being deceived or misled. It means to err from the truth, to cause to believe what is false, and not to believe what is true, to impose on, to delude. The word deceived means misled, led into error, beguiled, cheated. So the Bible said, be careful. Jesus said, take heed that you be not deceived. There's a lot of that floating around. When the Bible clearly says something, when someone has heard the truth all their life, and yet that person starts believing something that is against the Bible, that is being deceived. And maybe if the whole brotherhood talks together and sees the scripture clearly, and yet someone does not want to accept the truth, that is being deceived. I'm sure you've all heard of that story that happened out west where this young couple tried to help this girl and ended up into a big disaster, and the husband ran off and stayed at a motel for 3 weeks, all under the guise of counseling, you know, and the story just kept going on and ended up with the wife getting beat up and the child dying and both of them stuck in jail. We would say that was, those people were deceived, wouldn't you say? They accepted beliefs that were against God's word, and it led to a terrible, terrible problem. How about the deception out there, once saved, always saved, that you can accept Christ and then you can sort of live however and you'll still be saved? The Bible teaches us that blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. The Bible teaches us that not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of God. It's very clear in Scripture. How about the deception in our day that's called father love, mother love? It allows for indecent contact between people that are not married. That's against the Bible, because the Bible said that it's not good for a man to touch a woman. It says abstain from all appearance of evil. It says abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. So these are just a few examples of deceptions we face today that we need to be aware of. How about the thing of training and correcting your children? There's things out there today that say, well, you just need to make them sit in the corner or maybe just sit on a chair and just give them grace. There was a situation years ago where we, as family, came to church, and their children were all very orderly, and so they invited us for come down to their place where they lived, and here we came to this place in down in Newcomers Town, and all the windows were heavily boarded up, and or heavy curtains on the windows, and they had all these signs about giving grace, and so they believed that you should give your children grace and don't correct them at all or spank. And anyway, the whole feel of it just, yeah, it was different. And when the Bible clearly says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and the Lord and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And it says, chasten thy son while there is hope. You know, the Bible teaches us to train our children. A clear mark of the end times, a sign of the end times is deception. Let's be careful, brothers. Jesus said, take heed lest no man that no man deceive you. Take heed that no man deceive you. It says that in Matthew and Mark. 1 Corinthians 3:18, let no man deceive himself. Ephesians 5:6, let no man deceive you with vain words. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no man deceive you by any means. 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. 1 John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you. Let's look at our second point. We're going to look at wars and rumors of wars. Syria's tragic civil war rages on. Warring parties jockey for control. None strong enough to end the war, none weak enough to lose. Peacemaking attempts have been futile. For countless ordinary Syrians, the brutal war has meant the death of loved ones, ruined homes, a collapsed economy, and mind-numbing fear. Missile strikes, suicide bombings, sniper attacks, and kidnappings are routine. Entire villages have been under siege for months. People, desperate to survive, eat dogs, cats, and donkeys. A Syrian who distributes relief aid said, the people who we visit are broken and hopeless. They are overwhelmed by fear, hunger, sickness, and explosions. 9 million Syrians have fled their homes, driven either by fear or destruction of their homes. Over 2 million have escaped to neighboring countries. 6.5 million are displaced inside of Syria. Sign of the end times is wars and rumors of wars. War and violence across a large swath of Middle East have forced millions of people to flee their homes. Latest on this awful scene is the vicious terrorist group ISIS, which continues to torture, kill, and behead. In Syria's ongoing civil war, nearly 200,000 people have died. Most of the refugees are women and children. There are an estimated 500,000 refugee children in Lebanon alone. Almost all of them have been traumatized. Some have arms or legs blown off by bombs. Many have seen people being killed. Thousands of women, some of them very young girls, have been kidnapped and sold into slavery. The second sign that Jesus gives us there in Matthew, in Luke 11, or Luke 21, is wars and rumors of wars. Now let's look at our third sign, nation rising against nation. Right here we have a Ukrainian conflict. In recent weeks, the fighting in Ukraine has been especially intense and has continued to flare, even though the ceasefire between Ukrainian military and Russian-backed rebels was declared last September. Hundreds of thousands of people are displaced within Ukraine. Official numbers state that over 5,000 people have been killed and 11,000 wounded in the conflict, which began last April, but in reality, the numbers may be higher. Nation shall rise against nation. Conflicts in Armenia and Azerbaijan, Ivory Coast, and Ethiopia have brought a surge of refugees seeking safety for themselves and their families. Innocent people, parents and children, and the elderly have fled their homes, bringing little with them. Many depend entirely on the mercy of others. The last decade brought a dramatic increase of displaced people around the world. The number of people who fled their homes due to conflict, famine, and persecution nearly doubled from 40 million to 80 million. Just imagine, 80 million people around the world that were displaced because of conflicts. Isn't that a sign? Nation rising against nation? Isn't that a sign of the last days? Can we see that? And here we live in our safe little community, don't we? Our little Holy Holmes County, if you may call it that. Maybe someday it'll be our turn. Ethiopia. A civil war has broke out in Ethiopia, Africa's second most populated country. Thousands are displaced and millions in urgent need. Women and children arrive in surrounding countries with horrific stories of violence they experienced. Sadly, many never make it out of the conflict zone. Ivory Coast in West Africa. Refugees from Ivory Coast are streaming into Liberia. Political tensions stemming from recent presidential election has erupted into deadly violence. Bangladesh. In the past several years, nearly 1 million of the certain people group fled Myanmar as their people were killed. The makeshift homes they built in Bangladesh have become the largest refugee camp in the world. The Middle East. 9 years ago, the peace and prosperity of Syria were shattered. Today, cities lie in ruins and people are scattered across Syria and neighboring countries. Ongoing violence dispels any hope for peace. Nation shall rise against nation. Let's look at our fourth sign, famines. The reason I'm reading this is simply to try to make an impact on our minds that we are in these days. We are in the last days. Famine. Africa is facing its worst famine in recent history, as drought and conflict rage across more than a dozen countries. Many people have died already, and more than 20 million are at risk of starvation. Families have exhausted every means they have to survive, said a United Nations representative. Food prices have tripled and even quadrupled in some places, making it almost impossible for families to buy more than one meal a day. In South Sudan, where more than 1 million children are malnourished, a three-year ongoing civil war has taken its toll. Crop production is down drastically, and at times it is too dangerous for farmers to work in their fields. This young mother of a toddler said soldiers tied her husband to a tree and shot him. She hid in her home for a whole year, too scared to work in her garden. Famines. Yemen. Yemen has been locked in a terrible war for the past 3 years. At the beginning of 2020, Yemen experienced another uptick in fighting. This renewed conflict displaced 40,000 people in one province. Frightened families fled a displacement camp. Homeless, once again, they spoke of walking 3 days without food or water. Wow. Famines. Now we're going to look at pestilences. Sign number 5, pestilences. The world's worst cholera outbreak. Airstrikes have severely damaged water systems and sewage treatment plants, forcing people to drink water polluted with feces and urine. That, combined with poor sanitary conditions and a woeful healthcare system, has led to the world's worst cholera outbreak in Yemen. Over 1.1 million cases of this deadly sickness have been reported. Visitors to the cholera camp saw dozens of patients lying motionless on the earth floor, and a mother helplessly watching her child take her last breath. Let's look at earthquakes in diverse places. Here we have an earthquake in Nepal. A 7.8 magnitude earthquake, the most powerful disaster in Nepal since 1934, struck at 11:56 a.m. on Saturday, April 25. Its epicenter was at the depth of 9.3 miles, which made it more damaging than quakes that originate deeper in the ground. Rescue workers are searching desperately for survivors who may be buried amid the rubble in Nepal's capital or trapped in remote mountain villages. The death toll has soared over 5,000 with fears that the number could rise significantly. The morgues are getting totally full, said this official, the prime minister who deals with disposal. Efforts to reach Nepal's thousands of remote mountain villages were hampered by landslides that have blocked many mountain trails. The government is only gradually getting a grasp on the destruction of these isolated places. Once these communities are accessed, it is feared that the number of injured and dead will increase dramatically. Villages like this are routinely affected by landslides, and it's not uncommon for entire villages of up to 1,000 people to be completely buried by rockfalls. A man evacuated by helicopter to this certain city told Mr. Darvas, almost every house in his village of more than 1,000 has been destroyed by this earthquake. In addition to the many dead, thousands of people have been injured. Hospitals in Kathmandu are overflowing with injured survivors and quickly running out of emergency supplies, beds, and space to store people's bodies. Many of the injured are being treated outside. Tens of thousands of families lost their homes. A second earthquake of 6.6 magnitude and dozens of aftershocks have continued to terrify the people. Wow. Earthquakes in diverse places. Let's look at point number 7, men's hearts failing them for fear. Now, as you think about how many of you experienced a degree of fear in the last year, thinking about COVID and you name it, there's a degree that we faced. But how about if we didn't have Jesus and we didn't have God to depend on? Just imagine the fear that might grip your heart. Men's hearts failing them for fear. That's what the Bible says is a sign of the last days. The fear that drives people to move out of the cities because of the riots and causes people to buy up a bunch of ammunition because they're scared. They said in 2020 was an unprecedented sale of guns and ammunition. And what was the reason for that? I think it's because people's hearts are failing them for fear. Point number 8. Sign number 8. Hated of all nations for Jesus' sake. Why don't you turn over to Luke 21. Read a few verses there. This is sign number 8. Verse 12, it says, but before all these, they shall lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up into synagogues, into prisons, being brought before kings, rulers for my name's sake. Verse 17, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. That's a sign of the last days. I'm going to read a few excerpts. Something I found in the Voice of the Martyrs, which is just current, talking about the Christians in China. Authorities restrict Bible players and online Bible sales. Christian businessman Lei Jingquang, whose company at one time produced and sold the most audio Bibles players in China, was detained in 2018 and later charged with unlawful business operations. Meanwhile, 4 other Christians were currently on trial for manufacturing auto Bible players. The owner of an online Christian bookseller, Wheat Bookstore, was arrested on September 1. 2019, authorities launched an extensive investigation into everyone who had purchased from the store, confiscating books and interrogating Christians from as far away as Xinhuang Uyghur Autonomous Region to the northwest, to another province. Jesus said that his followers would be hated of all nations. I'm going to read another excerpt from the Martyr's Mirror, which was, of course, many hundreds of years ago, showing you that this is a sign of the last days. This is a story about three God-fearing women that gave their lives for Jesus. AD 308, among various other martyrs who suffered for the testimony of Jesus Christ in the seventh year of Diocletian's persecution, we have noted that there were also several honorable Christian women who, for the love of their Savior, did not hesitate to give their lives for the truth. They were called Bibulus, Aquilina, a girl of 12 years, and Fortunata, a maiden of Caesarea, who together laid down their lives for the truth. And the next section here talks about some of the things they went through. Very terrible things that they did to Christians. Because this is a sign that Jesus gave. Very terrible things. It is related that at this time the modes of torture and of putting to death were various. Some were beheaded with the axe, as was mostly done with martyrs in Arabia. Some had their legs broken on the wheel, as was the case in those who confessed the name of Christ in Cappadocia. Others were hung up by their heels with the head close to the ground and then suffocated by a small fire, as was the case in Mesopotamia. Some had their noses, ears, hands, and feet, and other members cut off, as was done to those in Alexandria. At Antioch, some were roasted on frying pans, not unto death, but to intensify the pain. But the sufferings inflicted upon the poor martyrs in Pontus are too terrible to relate. Some of them had sharp splinters of wood put under their fingernails. Others had melted lead poured over their bodies, and so forth. The reason I read this is simply to give us a picture of the last days we are in. Let's look at our next sign. Sign number 9, false prophets and false Christs. In Matthew 24, it says, they shall show great signs and wonders, that they may even deceive the very elect. And I would like to maybe during the open time can have some comments on this one. But I had to think of things like Muhammad, false prophet, Buddha, Joseph Smith, the Pope, false prophets, false Christ. There's a lot more that we could talk about. Let's look at point number 10, love of many waxing cold. In Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because iniquity is abounding. We see that around us today. The flood that Satan has cast out of his mouth to swallow the church up can have effect on us. It's causing the love of many to wax cold. May God help us that we stay hot for God. There are young people I went to Bible school with, people who sat in these very church benches, who today are not following the Lord. Their love has waxed cold. We need to beware. We need to keep our eyes in the Word so we can escape these things. Let's look at point number 11, Sodom and Gomorrah. In Ezekiel 16:49, it says, behold, this was the sin of Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness. And they didn't stretch out their hand to the poor, and they committed abominations. So it was not only the deviation in the moral area, but it was also pride, fullness of bread, plenty of free time. And you tell me, do we see that around us? You know, Jude 7 says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. America. They are giving themselves over to those abominations. Now, just a little bit of history on Sodom and Gomorrah. They had certain customs and practices that they practiced. One of them was that four times a year, they all got together out in this place in the plain where they had a big party. And it was a very ungodly, anything goes. And they could do anything morally they wanted to. And nobody cared. That was Sodom for you. They had lots to eat. They were in this plain where they had plenty of food and plenty of free time. You know, it's very shocking to see this thing in our very own county. There was someone we came in contact with that obviously was a man, but he had a woman's name. I'm not going to mention it, but that we came in contact to do with the storage unit. And we see people living lifestyles that are against nature. Men trying to be a woman and a woman trying to be a man. We see people that they think they want to marry a man, and two men marrying and two women marrying instead of the way God created. We see this before our very eyes. You know, this is the last time, brothers. Because if our generation degenerates to something like that, there won't be another generation. Because God never made two men to have a family or two women. So it is the last generation, the last time. Transgender. Mankind defying God's order for male and female. And I heard recently about this thing they're pushing out there that you're not supposed to talk about the father and the mother of a child. You're supposed to talk about the birth parent or the respective parent. You're not supposed to talk about the father and mother. Now, if that's not defying God's order, what is? I mean, that is abomination. That is horrible. And you're not supposed to say mother's milk. You're supposed to say human milk. What is our generation coming to? Sodom and Gomorrah. Another statistic about the condition of the people back then is they had a custom. This is, of course, drawing from history, not the Bible. That when a stranger would come, they would not help him. They would let him stay on the streets and fend for himself, and if anybody from the city would help him, they would kill him. And, there are some stories connected with that, where you can put this wherever you want to, but it's not the Bible. But there's a story goes that there's this man that was laying on the streets of Sodom, and he didn't die, and he didn't die, and he didn't die. They told everybody not to feed him because they wanted him to pass away. But he kept on living and kept on living. They wondered, what's going on? And here, one of the daughters of Lot was having compassion on this man, and whenever she went to the well to get water, she would take a little morsel of food and drop it for him on the way to get water. And he kept on living. And once they found that out, they majorly penalized her for doing that. Let's look at point number 12. Many shall run to and fro. We find this in Daniel 12. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. So let's take a little look at how did people travel 200 years ago? How did they travel? Any ideas? They walked on foot? Maybe horseback? Any more thoughts? Yeah, old wooden ship on the ocean. Some horse-drawn vehicles. And, I mean, 250 years ago, that was relatively recent. And was that basically the mode of travel for most of the history of the world, would you say? I mean, I think we could say that. That up until recent history, things haven't changed a whole lot as far as travel goes. But how about today? How fast do people go? Or how fast did they go back then? Maybe when you walk, how fast can you walk? Maybe at best 5 miles an hour. How about riding on a horseback? How fast can you go? Maybe 25. Maybe if he's running 30, 35. How about riding an ox cart? How fast can you go in an ox cart? Oh, maybe 2 to 5 miles an hour. How about riding in a ship? Maybe 5 or 10 miles an hour. Anyway, how about travel in 2021? What do people ride in now? Some people still ride in horse and buggy. But people ride in car, truck. Some people ride in race cars. Some people ride the bus, train, cycle, tractor, four-wheeler, ship. Some people maybe ride in an airplane and a drone. Maybe some people ride in a rocket. And all these things have changed in the last 150 to 200 years, where it goes from snail's pace to just zooming. And then we read that scripture says, many shall run to and fro. Now, this sign really is pertinent for the last of the last days. It seems like this thing is just going faster and faster and faster. How fast do people go today? How fast can you go in your truck? Maybe at least 60 miles an hour. That's probably at least 10 times faster than on foot. How about, how fast can you go in a race car? Maybe 200 miles an hour. How fast can you go in an airplane? Maybe 600 miles an hour, 500. Some can go over 1,000 miles an hour. And a rocket, I don't even know how fast they go. They're getting closer to the speed of light, I think, probably. So, for thousands of years of history, life has, as far as travel, has not changed a whole lot. But in the last 200 years, we see this thing moving on. I think it's a great sign of the last days, don't you think? I think it's a sign of the last days. Let's look about our next point. Knowledge shall be increased. Knowledge shall be increased. Point number 13. How did people communicate up till about 150 years ago? Do you have any ideas? I think they wrote handwritten letters. And how else? How did people communicate? How did people send messages 150, 200 years ago? Well, maybe they sent a runner. They sent someone running. How many of you would think to send a message 10 miles away to your brother in church by running? That would be ridiculous. A lot of work for not much. Okay, how about riders on horseback? And This is another thing that pretty much hadn't changed up until recent history, is the communication, the knowledge. Now I'll ask you the question, how do we communicate now? Well, once in a...
Instant.
How about maybe once in a while we write a letter, but most of them is, you know, maybe even we speak into these devices and it writes it out for us. Phone call, text, Zoom, Skype, face-to-face once in a while, digital communication. And with this big knowledge being increased, it creates a real issue for our relationships, because sometimes we substitute face-to-face relationships with digital communication, and it's not the same, in case you didn't know. How many books did the average settler have 200 years ago? Maybe one or two or three books in their house. How many books do you on average have in your house? Maybe 100, 200, maybe some of us have 500 books in our house. Does that sound like knowledge being increased? I think it sounds like knowledge being increased. Story is told of Abraham Lincoln, which is around 200 years ago. He would walk for miles to get one book to read. And once he's done, he'd walk miles to take it back. Walk more miles to get another book. Talk about smartphones. You can talk into your device and it'll talk back to you. How about that? Knowledge being increased. How about what they're trying to push now, artificial intelligence, where they can want to put a computer, whatever, into someone's brain so they can be extra smart. Artificial intelligence, isn't that far out? Just in a few clicks, you can access about any type of information imaginable under the sun. Just Google it. You can get it. Knowledge shall be increased. We are in that time. We see it, experience it with our own, in our own generation. I believe we're in the time of the end. How about data storage? And the ability to track everyone almost everywhere they go. Everything they do is tracked. The government can follow you with your device. They can even hear what you're saying. And you name it. Just keep that in mind when you're communicating over that device. Credit cards, debit cards, electronic money, cell phones, GPS. The government can track every purchase you make, unless it's cash. Every time you get gas, every time, everywhere you go, every text you send, every phone call could be tapped. And I've already heard there may even be mics in your phone that can hear what you're saying in your house. Knowledge is being increased. Sounds like the time of the end to me. Could it be that this technology that we enjoy so much will someday betray us? And now they're wanting to go with a completely cashless system, a system of complete control where the Antichrist, the God of this world, will control every person. I have an article here that talks about the Chinese Communist Party. The Chinese Communist Party has created a digital monster whose eyes never cease watching Chinese citizens and whose brain tracks and automatically punishes their infractions. In 2018, China had 350 million surveillance cameras, or roughly one camera for every four people. This year, 2021, the number is expected to exceed 580 million. An astonishing one camera for every two people in the country. In the past 3 years, the CCP has used technology to facilitate the mass incarceration of more than 1.5 million ethnic, religious, and political minorities. China's surveillance cameras are either controlled by or accessible to the CCP, which uses the imagery to punish citizens not only for crimes, but also for what it deems subversive acts that oppose its power and control. The cameras and related computers and software recognize faces and log unfavorable actions and associations against individuals. It's called social index scores. A low score can be grounds for denying anything from a bank account or loan to housing and educational opportunities. Doesn't that sound like the mark? You can't buy or sell. In China, foundational aspects of biblical faith and practice, such as gathering for worship and disciplining children, are crimes. Our Chinese Christian brothers and sisters live with the understanding that attending a church service or visiting a fellow Christian's home, even once, can lower their permanent digital record. Wow. You talk about it. Knowledge being increased. Now let's look at our last point, then we're going to look at some more encouraging stuff before we end the message. Let's turn our Bibles over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to talk a little about point number 14, the Antichrist. Chapter 2, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by a spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his day. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And that's what I want to focus on at the end of the message. This Antichrist is going to come in the last days. This man of sin, the Bible talks about, maybe it would be the one world ruler, or however you interpret that. But what I want to focus on at the end here is how the coming of Christ is going to completely vanquish all this stuff, all these things we are looking at, that this world is undergoing. It's all going to be taken away. Luke 21, and when you see these things come to pass, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Brothers and sisters, let's look up to Jesus. Let's lift our heads up, because our redemption draweth nigh. Let's not let our hearts be overwhelmed with fear or overtaken with cares of this life. Let's be ready. Where's our heart and affection? Luke 21 says, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape these things, stand before the Son of Man. Daniel 12:3 says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Let's be like that. Let's shine for the Lord. John 14:27. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world, brothers, and if we are in Him, we are safe, brothers. We are secure, we are safe, no matter what we face, no matter how bad this world gets. Let's turn over to Revelation 21 to end our message. Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Praise God. I'm looking forward to that. How about you? Are you looking forward to that? New heaven, new earth. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. I'm looking forward to that. Things we experience in this life, just little compared to eternity. Let's be faithful, brothers. Let's hang in there. Let's stay open to each other. Let's hang together. Let's fight for this cause because it's worth it. It's worth it, brothers. When you get to heaven, it's going to be worth everything. Lord bless you.